Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Mem Hey. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Dalad, Amud Beis, at the bottom of the Amud by the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues to describe the procedure if somebody, Rechman Tzlan, is Chayiv Skila. So it says the Mishnah, Hayrachik Beis Skila Arba Amos, when the person who was being put to death by Skila was a distance of 4 Amos from the place where the skila is going to take place, hamavshitin as begodav, they would take off his clothing. The Yad Ramah explains the reason they did this when he was 4 amos away, to make him aware that he need not worry that they're going to stone him while he's wearing clothing, and as we're going to learn, him being stoned when he's not wearing any clothing will cause him to die quicker, so we want him to recognize that earlier. Says the Mishnah further, Ish mechasen esay milfanav, a man is covered by one piece of material in front of his body. That's the way that his erva will be concealed. Isha milfaneo umachra, but a woman is covered in the front and the back of her body. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'chamayim, whereas the opinion of the Chamayim is Hish Niska Arim, a man is stoned when he's not wearing any clothing, but a woman is not stoned that way. However, the Rambam says that she only wore one garment. We wanted to make, as the person is not wearing clothing, they will die quicker. Just as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and the Gemara, the concern is by a woman that she shouldn't be embarrassed. But because we wanted to do it as quickly as possible, that's why she wore only one garment. And that one garment that she wore was actually quite thin. So again, even though we're trying to avoid the embarrassment, we're doing it in a way that will cause the least amount of pain. Begins the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa teaches us, Ha'ish, when we stone a man, Mechasen Ha'isei Perek Echad, We cover him just with a little milfanav where his erva is, the isha, but a woman, shnei perakim, we cover her in two spots, bein milfanav, bein lechra, both in front and the back of her body. Neshikula erva, that entire area is considered an area of erva, and we because it's considered an area of erva, we don't want to be exposed. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. I remember, whereas the opinion of the Chama is, Hishnes go arum, a man is a stone without wearing any clothing. However, if any isha neskala saruma, a woman is not stoned when she's not wearing any clothing. Ask the Gemara, Maida Tamaid Rabbanan, why the Rabbanan differentiate between the man and a woman and say that the woman is not wearing any, is not stoned, not wearing any clothing? Answers, say the Rabbana, I'm a crop. The Pasuk, when it speaks about the stoning of an individual's chayv skila, the Torah Kedosha says, V'rogma oisoi. And the question is, why does the Torah have to say the word oisoi? My oisoi? Ilay ma oisoi, v'loi oisoi. If we're going to say that the Torah is coming to teach us that only men can be subject to skila and not women, says the Gemara, that can't be true, because v'ksiv, the pasuk says v'tzeisa isha hu or isha hi. The Torah clearly indicates that a woman can be chayv skila. Elamai oisai. What do we learn from the word oisai? Oisai b'loik susai. A man is stoned not wearing any clothing. Ha oisai, when we speak about the woman, b'ksusa, when she's wearing clothing. Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees, and says even a woman is stoned without wearing clothing. To teach us, we don't differentiate between a man and a woman. Says the Gemara, the Memra, so according to what we're saying, the Rabbanan's opinion is that a woman is stoned wearing clothing, because Rabbanan chayish lehurah. And the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara, that everybody agrees that this halachas that we're discussing in our shiur today are only midrabanan. And since the halachas that we're learning in our shiur today are only midrabanan, so there has to be a reason for the halachas of the rabbanan. And therefore, the Gemara is saying, the Rabbanan who hold that she stoned wearing clothing, because the Rabbanan are concerned for the Hurhura. They're concerned about the people who are there and will see her without any clothing. Rabbi Huda, who says that she is stoned without wearing clothing, obviously is the opinion, Loi Chayishli Hurhura, is not concerned about people who see her without clothing. Ask the Gemara, for Ipcha Shemana, we've seen that their opinions are just opposites. When it describes the procedure of the Saita, says the Mishnah, the Kohen seizes her clothing. If as seizing her clothing gets ripped, so be it. If they're not completely ripped, they're partially ripped, ad sheikh megal sliba, we keep on doing so until her bosom is exposed. So says Sarah, we undo her hair. Yudaimer, im hayaliba no, if she was good looking, loya megaleo, we would not expose her. Vim haya sara no, and if she had nice hair, loy haya saisra, we didn't do so. So we see that Rabbi Huda is the one that's concerned what looking at her will cause, and the Rabbanan are not concerned. Answers the Gemara, how do we explain the opinion of Rabbi Huda? Hasam Hanatama, there's a different consideration. There the concern is, Shematetzer ben Bezdin Zakah, the woman who's going through this procedure to May Saita, we don't know if she's guilty or innocent, and she actually may be innocent. And the Birche Kahana, the young Kahanim saw without clothing, and therefore, we don't want to leave it that way. Hasam, but in our Gemara, Hamikdala, she's getting killed, so we don't have to worry about what's going to be. So, of course, the Rishonim ask, well, there's a simple way of avoiding the problem of the Pirche Kuhuna. The way we could avoid the problem of the Pirche Kuhuna is by putting up a mechitza between her and everybody else. So Taisus Masech Taisus says that would defeat the purpose. The whole purpose is to make her feel embarrassed and cause her to admit. So we can't just put up a mechitza. Ask the Gemara, but what are you saying? That we're not worried here about her being left undressed because she's not going to be around anyway. But ask the Gemara, v'chitema oslos guri b'chunaisa. But by seeing this woman this way, it may cause them to think when they see other women. I'm a rabbi, to which rabbi says, Gemiri, we learned, and Yetzirah Shayla B'masha in Arois. The Yetzirah only has a power over what it sees. And I saw, the Ben Ishchai explains, that's why the part of the eye that makes us see is black. Because what it teaches us is that the black of the eye, sometimes the eyes end up seeing things that they're not supposed to see. Things that are black, that's represented through the black of the eye. The Farshim also point out that here we're learning that the Ein Yetzahara, Shailat, the Yetzahara doesn't have power over Masha Ein of Royas. So the Chesh of Sofer asks a question. The Pasuk says, we say it a number of times every day, we have to be concerned about what our lave, what our heart thinks about. But our Gemara just said that the power of the Yetzirah is in the Einayim, in the eyes. That causes the Einayim have an effect on the lave. So the Pasuk should have said, L'Yisusuru, Achrei Nechem, V'Achrei Levavchem. Start with the Einayim and then the lave, says the Chesh of Sofer. Indeed, this problem begins with the eyes. He says, somebody who has his lave trained, that he doesn't look where he's not supposed to look, that will be the best way to protect his eyes. So that's what the Pasuk says, Surah Levavchem, train your heart not to look where it's not supposed to look, and that will be the best way to protect your eyes. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Huda, Kasha, was there only a question how to reconcile the opinion of Yehuda, the Rabbanan Lakasha? We need to reconcile the opinion of the Rabbanan as well. And how do we reconcile their opinion? Elam Rava, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Lekasha, the way we reconcile Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is Kedeshanin, as we just explained. Rabbanan, Rabbanan La'at Mila Kasha, how do we reconcile the opinion of the Rabbanan? Amakra, the Pasuk says, V'shafti zimim and aretz, v'nevasu kol anashim, v'leisosop kim zimisechem. We have to be worried that other women should learn the lesson of the Saita. And if we want them to learn the lesson of the Saita, that's why we take off our clothing, and that will cause other women not to do this Avera. Hacha, but when it comes to killing the woman, the fact that she's being killed is already a way that everybody will take a lesson, and we need not do anything more. Ask the Gemara, but if we're trying to teach a lesson, so why not? Why don't we do both? Kill her and embarrass her by taking off her clothing. Answers the Gemara, because Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Amar Kra, V'haftal Reach Kamaicha, and from here we learn, B'ror Lo Misa Yofa. We should try to kill her in the most compassionate fashion. So I asked the Gemara, that Leim Ad Rav Nachman Tanayhi, should we suggest that what Rav Nachman says, B'ror Lo Misa Yofa, is actually a subject of Machlokes Tanoim, the Chum's opinion is Bar Lo Misa Yofa and don't embarrass her. And Yehuda doesn't hold of that, and therefore she may be take off her clothing, and we don't care if she gets embarrassed. Says the Marloi. The Kulma Islay the Rav Nachman. Everybody agrees with Rav Nachman's opinion that we have to do it in the most compassionate manner. The Achav Maikam Lefki, Masover, Rabbanan's opinion is Bezjani de Isha Doifalei Tfei Menaych de Gufa. A person prefers not to be embarrassed, even though he will suffer. A person is prepared to be embarrassed, rather, a person is prepared to be embarrassed rather through suffering through death. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, take off the clothing which will hasten the death. And the Rabbanan hold, don't take off the clothing because the embarrassment is worse. The Pasuk says, by the Adas Kairach, Ubala Isam as Kol Shalhem, V'yardu Chaim Shoyla. So the question is, why the Rabbi Yisachar Doi from Belz asked this question. Moshe Rabbeinu asked for here that they should die a terrible death, that when they are swallowed up by the ground, they should still be alive. But haven't we just learned the Baror Lo Misa Yofa? We have to try to make the most passionate type of death. So wouldn't it be more passionate that they should expire before they're swallowed? So Rabbi Yisachar Doif says, as much as Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned about a passionate death, Moshe Rabbeinu was also concerned, he says, that they should do tshuva. And he recognized that these were terrible rishoyim, and the likelihood of them doing tshuva was quite slim. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu said, let them still be alive when they're swallowed up. That will cause them to do tshuva, and they will die having done tshuva. The Pnei Menachem says that our Gemara just taught us, Baror Lo Misa Yofa. We have to always find the person that we're killing the most compassionate death. He says, the Chazal teach us that the fire of Gehenim doesn't resume on Motzei Shabbos until people finish Shal Shudas, Amayriv, and some even suggest until after Mlava Malka. So the Pnei Menachem says that if somebody keeps Shabbos longer, he doesn't make Havdalah that quickly, or he doesn't make eat Mlava Malka that quickly, he could be helping the Baror Lo Misa Yofa, because all these people who are unfortunately in Gehenim, he could help them not be in Gehenim by waiting longer to end Shabbos, and they will not go to Gehenim that quickly. We find a similar discussion to what we're learning in our Gemara in Masechta Bava Basra Daf Tes Amud Aleph regarding Hilchos Tzedakah. Rav Kahuna says that clothing a poor person to spare him the humiliation takes precedence over feeding him. Rav Yehuda, however, holds that feeding him takes precedence because the physical pain of starvation is more significant. Ask the Chavis Yor, on one hand, regarding the dispute in our Gemara, the halacha follows the opinion of the Chachamim, that a woman is stoned with her clothing because her embarrassment is more significant than her physical pain. On the other hand, when we speak about tzedakah, there the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda that feeding the hungry takes precedent over clothing. So how do we understand these two halachas? So the Sefer Naim L'Mishpat quotes the Yad Ramah, who says that the Gemara in Baba Basra is speaking of people who are wearing tattered clothing, but not people who are entirely naked. So Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that feeding a hungry person takes precedence over buying proper clothing for a needy person in torn clothing. That doesn't contradict what we're learning in our Gemara, that it's better to stone a woman in clothing, even if the clothing prolongs her agony, because she's still, at least she's wearing clothing here. The Chesed Yeshua says there's no contradiction. The Chum's halach in our Gemara is limited to women. The Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra is speaking about men. Although a woman's humiliation is more significant than physical pain, perhaps a man's humiliation is not. So although Rabbi Yehuda says that feeding a hungry man takes precedence over clothing a needy man, perhaps that's only by a man. By a woman, giving her clothing will take precedence over giving her food. Al Gemara has introduced Vahafta L'Racha Kamaicha. So, and Al Gemara is explaining that Vahafta L'Racha Kamaicha speaks about when we're killing a person. And of course, the obvious question is why would we say that that pasuk speaking about a person when he's dying? Wouldn't it make more sense to explain that Vahafta L'Racha Kamaicha speaks when the person is alive? So Taisus asked this question. Taisus gives two terutzim. One terutz Taisus says, we learned the Gemara in Masechta Baba Metzia that if somebody only has a limited amount of water, and the question is, what should he do with the water? He's walking with somebody else. There isn't another amount of water enough for both of them. So the Gemara says, Chayecha Koidmin, Lechayecha Vercha, and you should take the water for yourself. So we see that while people are alive, you can't have a Haftal Rach Kamaicha. It's only after death, here we could have a Haftal Rach Trua. Another explanation Taisa gives, that the Torah speaks about, when it speaks about a Haftal Rach Kamaicha, it speaks about Lesikoim. And Lesikoim means don't take revenge in killing a person who has killed somebody in your family. We'll discuss this more in Mitzvah Shem and our Shiurim. So we see that it's talking about Baror Loi Misa Yofa, which causes the Achronim to discuss what does that mean. When we learn about the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Racha Kamaicha, is Ahavta L'Racha Kamaicha to be understood as a mitzvah chiyuvis, that we're obligated to do things to our friends? Or is it a mitzvah that we, whatever we wouldn't want done to us, we shouldn't do to someone else? And says the re-parallel that from our Gemara, it seems that the way to understand it is that if after L'Racha Kamaicha doesn't mean a positive experience, it means don't have done to somebody else what you wouldn't want done to yourself. And just like you wouldn't want you would want to be killed, if Chas V'Shalom, that's what has to happen to you, in the most compassionate manner, so too you should want for somebody else. But the Rambam, in Hilchos Deis, Perek Vav, Halacha Beis, apparently has a very different approach. And he says that the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Racha Kamaicha is a positive, that one has to go out of his way to do things that are positive for somebody else that needs different things. So we see that this seems to be a machloikis, how to understand the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Racha Kamaicha. Is it enough just don't have done to someone else what you wouldn't want done to you? Or is it much more of a positive mitzvah that we should do to others what we would want done to ourselves? Continues the Mishnah, Beis Haskila Yigvayish Deikaimus. The Beis Haskila was the height of two heights of a person. Vechner Me'edim, one of the Edim, would stand and doichvay ala meisnav. He would throw him down on his back. Why specifically on his back? He was specifically done on the back because if we're going to, as we're going to see now, have to bury, stone him, it's easier to stone him when he's laying on the back. Why only one of the Edom, not both of the Edom doing it? Says the Aruch HaNer that when two people throw something, it doesn't go as far as one person. We want to do it in a way that he should die as quickly as possible. And he's more likely to die quickly if it's one aid that throws him down versus two aid him. The mespa, and if the person died that way, yotza. We fulfilled the mitzvah of the mitzvah of skila. Vimlav, if that didn't work, hasheni neitel seven, the next person takes the stone. The nice na'alibai, he throws it on the person's heart. In mespa, if that causes him to die, yotza. Vimlav, if that doesn't help, regimus kol yisrael, then all of klai yisrael, regimusu kol yisrael, all of klai yisrael participate in his death. Shenema, as the pasuk says, yad edim tiyabai b'rishonu la'misai. First, the edim get the chance, and afterwards, v'yad kolam b'rachroina. And the Rambam explains why is there such a halacha that the edim do it first. He says, because the only people that are certain that this person is Chai Misa, that without any question, are the Edom who saw and said what he did. And therefore, it's most appropriate that they should be the ones to kill him. Tana continues the Brisa to teach us when we speak about the height. V'koymashloi, if we add to the height of the Beis Haskila, the height of this person, Harekan, Shalosh, so we have the height of three people. Ask the Gemara, or minim bein kula high, is it necessary that it should be that the base of skila should be so high? For many, we learned the Masechta Baba Kama regarding some animal that fell into a bar. Ma ba shikdei lahem sasar tfachim, that what is considered the depth of a bar, that it's so deep that a person would die? It's 10 tfachim. Af kol kdei lahem sasar tfachim. So we see that death could be accomplished just with 10 tfachim. Why does it have to be so tall? Answers the Gemara. Amar Nachman, Amar Avavua, Amar Krova, Haftal Rach Kamaicha. As we've been discussing, Baror Lemisa Yofa. We should cause him to die quicker, and the higher the building, the quicker he will expire. Ask the Gemara. If so, Yehachil Ligvei Tvei should even be higher. Says the Gemara, that's already too much. We shouldn't have nevel. It'll cause the body of the person to be completely broken up, which is of course very terrible. Echman Edim Doichvei. One of the Edom is the one that pushes him off the roof. Tana Rabbanan, Menayin Shebetchia. How do we know that we throw him off? So the Pasuk says by Har Sinai, the Torah said that nobody should get close, nobody should touch Har Sinai, because the Torah says, Kisakal Yisakal, or Yairi Yaira. Menayin Shebetchia. So how do we know that when we're killing somebody, we throw him off? Tamloy Meyara, because the Pasuk says Yaira. Or Menayin Shabaskila, and how do we know that we also do skila? Tamloim is sokol. Umanayin shabaskila betchia. How do we know if we need to kill him, we have to do both? Tamloim is sokol, sokol yoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyoyo we just did Tchiya, that's going to be enough to fulfill the obligation. Tamlai oy yoyra yoyra. The word oy, which we have often in Shas, teaches us that it separates. And it's telling us that yoyra alone is enough. Menayin sha'afo daris kein. But this pasuk is a pasuk that took place by Har Sinai. And as Tosfos explains, the Gemara is full of situations where the Torah tells us a halacha in one situation, and from that one situation, we learn to all other areas of halacha. So why is the Gemara asking the question that if we see that that was the way it was done by Har Sinai, that should be a proof that that's the way it should be done for all future generations? So the Tosfos answers, when we learn from a specific situation to other situations, What that means is that that situation is not a situation which was a one-time event. So since it wasn't a one-time event, we could learn from there to other times. But Har Sinai was a one-time event. Since Har Sinai was a one-time event, the Gemara's question is, how do we learn from that one-time event to events that happen again and again? Tamalayim, the Pasuk says, Sokol, Yisokol, Yisoyer, Yisokol. The Torah could have said, Sokol, Sokol, a Yoyer, Yoyer. The Torah wanted to say the word twice, but why did the Torah change the way the same word was used? To teach us this halacha. Vimlaf, Eid HaSheni Noitel 7. We learned further, if that doesn't work, the second aid takes the stone. Noitel, asked the Gemara, Tanya of Shimon Loz Oimer, Evan HaSesham, the stone that was there, Masa Shnei B'nei Adam. It was so heavy, you needed two people to carry it. So, says the Gemara, Noitel Evan Noisa Aliboy, what it means is that you take it and put it on his heart, and mace by Yotzeba. So we see that you needed two people. How do we say one person? Ask the Gemara, if you're asking from this Braisa, Tikshla Chigufa, the Braisa itself seems to be self-contradictory. First, the Braisa says, Masa Shnei B'nei Adam, that the stone was so heavy, it needed two people to carry it. And then it says, Noit Lev Noit Sveliboy. So how do we understand the Braisa? Elo, where the way to understand is, Medle Behadre Chaveri. It's picked up by both Edom. However, the Shadilei, when it's dropped by one individual. Why? Kehech de Teisim Marzia. When one person drops it, it's more likely to fall down with greater force. And Rashi explains, when two people carry something together, so each one is schlepping in his own direction. But when one person does it, it goes down in much more force. Vimlav, if that doesn't work, we learned through Gemara B'Kol Yisrael, everybody else participates. But Tanya asked the Gemara, Ma'alim Leishon Ba'adam, it was never necessary for a second person for this to happen. Answers the Gemara, Ki Kamena David. Answers the Gemara, did the Braisa say that it actually happened? But the Braisa is teaching us the Mitzruch Kamina. If it's necessary, this is what's done. But indeed, the Gemara says, it's highly unlikely that we'll need two people. Amamar, Evan Hoysa, that it means that the stone was there in Bezdin. Vatanya, Achas Evan Shenuskaba, asked the Gemara, but we learned in the Braisa that the Evan that was used for the Skila, Vachas Eitz Shenitla Lov, and the tree on which the person was hung, as we're going to learn after Skila, he's hung, Vachat Saiv Shenargbay, or if he was killed with a sword, Vechet Suda Shenechnabay, if he was choked with a handkerchief, Kul Nigbarnimay. So how could the stone remain there? And as Rashi says, we learned this from the Pasuk, Kover Yikberenu. And it says more, like Trani, like Tricha, the way to understand the Braisa is that indeed, the Braisa is not saying that they use the stone again. What it means is that the Mesakni Maisa Krina Chlofayu, once the first stone is used for killing the first person and it's buried along with that person, we prepare another stone for the next time. Says the Gemara Nikbarim Moi, we just learned that all of these items are buried with him. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya ain't Nikbarim Moi, they're not buried with him. How do we reconcile these two brises? Answers the Gemara, Amar Papa, my Imai, what is the definition of Imai? Imai betfisosoi. It's within the Dalet Amis of this person, but not totally together with him in the same grave. Amar Shmuel, continues the Gemara, Nikna Yad Edim. If the hands of the Edim were cut off, Potter, then this person is not going to get Misa with Skila. My Tama, because, says the Gemara, the Be'ina, the Torah says that we have to be able to fulfill Yad Edim Tibay Brishoina for Lekka. Ask the Gemara, Elam Ata Edim Gidma de Mikara. If we have an aid that's missing a hand, Hachinam de Psili, the halacha should be that they are disqualified from saying aidus because they won't be able to fulfill the obligation of Yad Edim Tibay Brishoina. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hasam, Dama Kro, Yada Edim Shoysa Kfar. So Rashi explains that the way to understand this Gemara is that if the Edim had hands at the time of the Aveira, and then they lost the hand, then the halacha is that those Edim are disqualified. But if you have a situation that you had Edim, but you had Edim that at the time of the Edis, they already, the time of this event and the time of the Edis, they already were missing their hands, then they're not disqualified. But that opens up a very interesting Machlokes Rishonim. Rashi is saying that if they were missing part of their hand at the time of the Edis, they're not disqualified. So what's Pshat and Rashi? Rashi is saying because these are individuals that could kill him with the remaining part of their hands. But what would be the halacha if the Edim are missing hands entirely? So according to Rashi, an individual who's missing a hand entirely would indeed be disqualified for an Edis. Other Rishonim learn different Pshat in the Gemara. And their Pshat in the Gemara is that when is there a requirement that the Edim should kill him with stoning? It's only Edim that had hands. As long as if the Edim didn't have hands at the time of Edis and don't lost them, they're disqualified. But if you had Edim that didn't have hands at all at the time of the Edis, even though they won't be able to do Yad or Edim Tibay Berishayna, it won't make a difference. This person will be killed through other individuals. And this opens up a question. Rachman Otzlan, what is the halacha of somebody who doesn't have a left hand? Tefillin is put on the left hand, and he does not have a left hand. What should he do? So Tyson's opinion is that if he still has some of the hand left, he should put tefillin on that part. And that's consistent with what we just learned. It's a Tyson's and Masechet Menachos. And the opinion is very consistent with Rashi, that you'll do the skila with whatever part of the hand there is. You'll put the tefillin on the hand, the part that's left. The Or Zeru's opinion is that such a person doesn't have to put on tefillin shel yad. The Ramah says that you should put it on the left hand and not make a bracha. The Magen Avraham says put it on the right hand and not make a bracha. And many of the Noisa Kalim suggest that machlokes is connected to the machlokes in our shir. The halach lemaisa, I saw that the Paiskim suggest that we Ashkenazim, we make two brachas when we put on the tefillin. We make a lehaniach tefillin on the shalyad and a mitzvah tefillin on the roish. Somebody who rachman tzlan in such a situation should only make a bracha of lehaniach tefillin before he puts on the whatever tefillin shalyad he's putting on the left hand, and then put on the shalroish on the right hand, on his head, but only make one bracha of lehaniach tefillin. Our Gemara just said that the stone and the tree, all these things that are used to kill a person, are buried not directly with him, but near him. So I saw that there are those that have a minig for the same reason that when we do Bedikas Chametz, the night of Erev Pesach, and we use a candle and a spoon, etc., a feather, that the minig is that when we burn the Chametz, not only do we burn the Chametz, but we burn all these different objects that were involved in the Bedikas Chametz based on this Gemara. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, the Mishnah says, in Masech Demakis, Kamakim, if somebody was sentenced to death and then he ran away, teaches us the Mishnah Masech Demakis, Dav Zayin Amin Aleph, Kamakim Shidu Shnayim, Yomer Me'idin Ono B'ish Ploini Shnigma Dinoi, if wherever two people could come and say testimony that this person was convicted, the best and plenty Eidav, Hareza Yaharig. But we're learning now that the Torah requires the Yad Edim Tiyah by Bereshayna. So how will we fulfill that requirement? Says the Gemara, what that Mishnah means to say Tigmashul Behein Hein Edov, that it's the same Edom who saw the original act are the ones that come and say the testimony that they sought. And as the Yad Ramah explains, they don't have to say over the whole testimony. All they have to say is that we were the Edom, and we're Edom that he was convicted. Ask the Gemara, here we're saying that since the Torah HaKadosh says Yad Edom Tiba B'Rishayna, we have to be able to fulfill it as stated. Ask the Gemara, me being a Karakad Ksiv, do we have to follow as the Pasuk says exactly? For Tanya, the Pasuk says regarding somebody who's a Ritzayach, Mois Yumas Hamaka Ritzayachu. Enli Elba Misa Ksuvaba. So we would learn the Pasuk, what is the type of Misa that a Ritzayach gets? Sayif. Menayin, continues the Braisa. Shimiyat Yochala Misa Misa Ksuvaba. If you can't do that Misa, Shatamemis, Bechom Misa Shat Yochala Misa. Do whatever you can. Tamalame mos yumas hamaka. And from here we learn, become mokim. So we see that even though the Torah says sayif, we don't have to do sayif necessarily. Answers the Gemara, shani asu na makra, mos yumas. The Torah say, kill him any way you can. But here the Torah says, yada edim. Ask the Gemara, but why not? Ligmamene. Why don't we learn from what the Torah says, beritzeach, to learn from there, from everywhere else, that if you can't do the misa that the Torah prescribes, do what you can. Answers the Gemara Shem Davar Tzeach for Goyal Adam. Mar's going to explain that in a moment. Shnei Ksuma Kaboim Ke'echad. And there's a law that calls Shnei Ksuma Kaboim Ke'echad Le'ein Melamden. If the Torah teaches us the same thing twice, why does the Torah say the same thing twice? As we said in our shir, when the Torah says something, it's enough for the Torah to say it once. And from there, we can learn everywhere else. The fact that the Torah says it twice, it means to teach us where the halacha is stated, that's where the halacha is. Where it's not stated, we can't learn from there for other places. Tosfos also points out that there's a machlokes in Shas, if Shnei Ksuma Abayim Ke'echad Melamden or Ein Melamden, but three for sure. So he says, we're going to learn that Ir Nidachas is a third pasuk that teaches this halacha. So this is a halacha that's taught three times. Everybody agrees that a halacha that's taught three times, we don't learn from there for anywhere else. Says the Gemara, Tzeich is the case of the Maran. Ask the Gemara, Goyal Adam Mahi. What is the case of Goyal Adam? The Tanya, the Braisa speaks about somebody who killed somebody else with Shoigig. That the halacha is that such an individual is sent to Golos in the Ir Miklat. And the Torah says, if this individual leaves the Ari Miklat, says the Torah, Goyal Adam Yomas HaSuritzeach. Mitzvah of Goyal Adam. There's a mitzvah that the Goyal Adam should be the one to kill him. However, Umanayin Shim Ein Le Goyal Adam, that there is no Goyal Adam, Shebez the Mamidim by Goyal. So we appoint a Goyal, Shnema Bepigaboy. So we see that again, that the Torah says that there we don't have to follow exactly what the Torah says, but it doesn't mean anywhere else. Here we're seeing that Bezin appoints a Goyal Adam. So I saw that Cheshuki Chemed says maybe just like Bezin has a din of appointing a Goyal Adam, is there a mitzvah if Rachman Otzlan, someone's relative, is murdered? Is the mitzvah to find to hire an investigator if the authorities have not been successful at identifying the person who did this? Is there a mitzvah to hire an investigator to try finding it? So really depends if the halacha of Goyal Adam applies b'zman hazeh. Many Rishonim are of the opinion that the mitzvah of Goyal Adam doesn't apply b'zman hazeh, and the reason it doesn't apply b'zman hazeh is because it only applies at a time where Bezdin could send to Golus, when Bezdin could sentence to death. But Vizman Azeh, where that is all not the case, so there's also no Goyal Hadam Vizman Azeh. Others don't connect it to Halachas. And if they don't collect it to Halachas, they say that just because Goyal Hadam, just because Mises Bezdin doesn't apply, Goyal Hadam would apply. But there are those that suggest that even if we say that the mitzvah of Goyal Adam somehow does apply b'zman hazeh, which is a very b'chiddush, the halacha still is that even if we'll say that the halacha of goel adam doesn't apply b'zman hazeh, the obligation to help root out evil and foul and find out who the murderer is maybe still applies. Amalei makshisha b'rev chizda ravashi u'miloi b'inin kroa k'diksev. Is it not required to follow the words of the pasuk? The vatanan hayim echem mehem. The Torah speaks about a ben sayer meyer. If one of the parents was a gidem, somebody who's missing a hand, or elim can't speak, a chigar can't missing a leg, chas v'shalom asuma is blind, a cherish can't hear, and a nasa ben sayer meyer. The son can't become a sayer meyer. Shnemar the toughs by the parents have to be able to grab him. V'loy gidman, not somebody who doesn't have a hand. They have to be able to walk him. Vamru, not people who can't speak. They could be able to point to him. Isn't this clearly an indication that the Torah means when it says something, it has to be exactly as stated? So isn't that a raya that Shmuel is correct? That if you can't do Yada Adam Tiyabai Barishaina, we don't kill him? Says the Gemara, Loi, you can't bring a raya from the store from the pasuk Sarah Meirer because the kula kroya seru, that pasuk is superfluous, and that's why it's available to teach us this halacha. Tashma, the Torah when it speaks about Eir and the Dachas says was kol shlol tikbetz atoich rechava. We take all of the items that belong to the people in the city and they bring it to the city square. Einlei rochayv, if we don't have that type of square. If it doesn't have a town square, we do make a rechayv. At kan lepligi, the machloikus here is the masav rechayv of the mekarbinin, that the definition of rechava means that it was there before it became anidachas. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva's opinion is as long as it currently has a rechava, it's enough. But what do we see from here? So how could you question what Shmuel said? Says the Gemara Tanahi. This question of when the Torah gives us instructions, do we have to be able to fulfill them to the fine detail? Is machlokes tanoim. The Torah says when a mitzvah becomes tahor, the lokach akoyim bedama osham, the osham is brought. For nasa akoyin al tnuch oizen amatari manus, we put some of the blood on his right earlobe. Vaboyin yoda yiminus on his right thumb. Vaboyin raglo hayimanus on his right toe. The tanan and the mishnah masechet and the goyim peri yudal mishnah test teaches us enle boyin yad if he doesn't have a right thumb. Buying regal, it doesn't have a right toe, oizen yaminis, it doesn't have a right ear, eloi tara alamis, because we can't fulfill what it says in the pasuk. We put it on the spot we were supposed to be. Shmuel Eimer, Shimon's Eimer, nice now smile of yaitzoi, we could put it on the left hand. So we see that Rabbi Elazar of Shimon's opinion is that we don't have to follow exactly as it's stated in the pasuk. And the Tanakama's opinion is that we have to follow exactly what's in the pasuk. The Gemara here said that we bury with the person everything that was with him when he died. And the question that the Shas Tshuvah Tzitz Eliezer, Chelik Yudalid, Simon Pei Gimel discusses, if somebody had a pacemaker inserted in his body, and typically the hospitals, the doctors, want to remove that pacemaker and put it into a different patient after this patient passes away. And there's two questions. There's a question of nivela meis, taking out the pacemaker. And the other question is that you're not allowed to have hano, you're not allowed to have benefit from a nifter. So the question is, can we take it from the nifter? And he says that the question of having a gnaw, it's not considered having a gnaw from something that belongs to the mace, because when it was put into his body, it was put in with the condition and understanding that when he won't be needed anymore, certainly when he dies, he will not it won't be needed, then the halacha is it's not considered something which is osur b'hanah. Another point regarding the point of the nivel hameis, he says that if it could be removed in a way that is not really desecrating the body, and moreover, he suggests, leaving the pacemaker in the body of the nefter doesn't really represent the kavod hameis, that the mace was buried with this external item. And moreover, he suggests that if this is the type, it's a big chiddush, if this is the type of procedure that is done even on live people, that's not called nivel hameis. So we combine all of these considerations. If we combine all of the considerations, that's why he says there's no problem, and the halacha will be that we could take out the pacemaker even after the person, Rahman Salam, was niftar.